Let's turn to that last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, concentrating on the words of the Lord Jesus. And please remember, these are words spoken just before he ascended to heaven. You're looking at what are among the very last words that the Savior uttered before he left the disciples and wondrously, wondrously ascended up into the heavens, and a cloud received them out of their sight. Verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." That verse contains a reference to the Trinity. God the Father's mentioned. The blessing of Pentecost is called the promise of the Father. The Holy Ghost comes down from the Father. But not only is the Father involved, the Lord Jesus says, "I send." It's by him that the promise of the Father is sent. And of course, the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's promised. You and I here tonight can enjoy, it's open for us to enjoy, a measure of the grace of the Holy Ghost that was not available to Old Testament saints. This is an age that began with Pentecost, in which the fullness of the Spirit of God is poured out. And I believe that just as these words, and I mentioned this on Tuesday night, just as these words were directed to the disciples before they began the greatest of all missions, so I feel these words are directed at us. They're appropriate for us to consider. I feel the Lord is saying to us as we get ready for the gospel mission that begins this weekend, he's saying to us, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now we looked at this matter. We considered the fact that the disciples to whom this promise is here given were very, very unready for the great work that was before them. Maybe you've been feeling we're not really ready for this mission. Well, you'd be right in thinking that. And we'll never be ready until the Holy Ghost is poured upon us. No matter what adverts we put out, or what leaflets we put out, or what invitations we circulate, or what talking we do with neighbours, that's not readiness. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter what we have seen before. What wonders these people had seen, these disciples. What things they had heard in the company of the Saviour. But none of that counted for anything. They were not ready until the Holy Ghost came upon them. And the Lord Jesus, who knew their state, he knew they weren't ready. And you can see that he's aware of that, and he's speaking to that matter when he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but don't you move, tarry, wait until the Holy Ghost comes." Because you can't do anything. You're useless until the Holy Ghost comes. And that's how we are tonight. And that's what we're here tonight to ask for. That God will send the Holy Ghost upon his servant who will preach here, but upon us as well. Now, I want us to look at this promise here, and I want us to consider the prayer that it created, engendered, provoked amongst the disciples. How did they pray as a result of these words that were spoken to them by the Lord? I mentioned on Tuesday night that big things that we face when we gather to pray is distractions. And you see that even happened to the disciples. They got distracted. The Lord said to them, right, here's what I want you to do. Tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost comes. And what's the first thing Peter did? He called an election. He bypassed, ignored the instruction of the Lord Jesus, and he said, we have got to find an alternative, a replacement for Judas. We've got to find a replacement. That's the first thing we've got to attend to. And he thus ignored what the Savior said. Tarry at Jerusalem until. How long did that take? I don't know. I can't imagine it being done in a day. But even if it was done in a day, it was a day wasted. A day pursuing that which was not the will of God for them. And when we come to pray, that's one thing we have got to watch out for. And Peter doubtless thought, well, this is a very important matter. This is not a flippant affair. This is a vital matter. We want a replacement for Judas. This is important. Well, it may have been all those things, but it was not what they were told to do. When we come in the prayer meeting, our minds can so easily be taken up with important things, but they're not what the Lord wants us to be taken up with. So guard your mind tonight, and come back to this verse again and again and again during the meeting, and pray over it, and ask the Lord to open it up to you, and explain it to you, and show you what it is that he wants you to seek after. Well, it would have promoted prayer when they got down to the business. For it's a very simple text. And we are told in the first chapter of Acts, just turn over to it please, for we see in the last chapter of Luke, which was written by the man who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, so it's the same writer, and you see he takes you on, and you see here in the opening chapter how that after they got down to prayer, you see the form of prayer, the type of prayer, the character of the prayer that they engaged in the verse 14 of chapter 1 of Acts. These all continued. Well, the names are given in the previous verses and who's there, or at least the most of the people who are there. I'm sure there are people there that aren't mentioned, but we see who was there, the apostles and the more prominent disciples who followed the Lord. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I believe in women praying. Here they are, the women praying. Praying. The first thing I want you to see is that it was informed praying, educated praying. They were coming to the prayer meeting with the words of the Lord Jesus ringing in their ears. Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Not a complicated recipe. And that's what we're here to do. Just to sit before the Lord for the season. Although, as I said on Tuesday night, I want you to go home with the same spirit. And whatever you do tonight, and whatever you're doing tomorrow, wherever you're employed, whatever takes up your day, still maintain a spirit of tarrying, waiting, looking, talking to the Lord. Well, you can do that. You can do that. There's very few jobs where you don't talk to a workmate. Well, if that's possible, we can talk with the Lord too. So they knew what they were coming to ask for. Many people remain silent in the prayer meeting because they say, I don't know what to say. Well, here you're told what to say. Tarry in Jerusalem until. You're to wait on the Lord and ask him, send the Holy Spirit, Lord. Send your grace and power upon us, Lord. We're empty, fill us, Lord. O God, we have a great task ahead of us. Oh, help us by pouring out your Spirit. That's all you have to ask. And you can state that little request 1,000 ways. Oh, yes, you can. You don't need to state it 1,000 ways. You can state it 1 way 1,000 times. And it'll not in the least offend God. Not in the least. They were educated then. They were informed as they came to pray. Then I want you to notice that it was intense prayer. They didn't doze off. Their minds were fixed on this business. You'll see the word supplication there in the verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. To supplicate is to ask with fervency. It's to ask with fervency. You have an example of the same word appearing in Luke chapter 2 and the verse 37. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 2. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And that word is right there in that verse. She was a woman who departed not, but served God with fastings and prayers. This was a fervent prayer warrior. She wasn't just sitting on a chair in the corner in the precincts of the temple. She was praying, supplicating. Never did a beggar reach out his hand with greater passion than did this woman. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Oh, for a passion as we pray. Again, it was persistent prayer. Now, between the Lord ascending and the pouring out of the Spirit of God, there were 10 days. 10 days. I don't think for a moment that every one of them was in that prayer meeting all of the 10 days, 24 hours a day. There would have been duties that would have taken them away. But the prayer meeting went on. There was always somebody there. And whoever did have to go away, they come running back again. They didn't delay. They didn't go on a shopping spree or a little outing just to relieve the tension and the pressure and so forth. No. They had duties to take care of. Necessities. And those they would have taken care of and then returned as soon as they could. And it says in that verse 14 of Acts chapter 1 that they continued in prayer. They continued. These all continued. As I said, they may not all have been there in the prayer meeting. But even if they were out of the prayer meeting and doing some other things that had to be done, they continued in prayer. And that's what we need to do as we draw near to the beginning of the mission. We need to be continually in the spirit of prayer and asking God to send us the promised Holy Ghost. You know, from we started our special times of prayer for the mission on Tuesday, 10 days from Tuesday will take us to this day next week. Wouldn't it be something if in the middle of the first week God came down with power? I always remember Dr. Paisley in his missions. He always followed a pattern. He began on a Sabbath afternoon and he preached a gospel message. Then on Monday night, he spoke to God's people about worldliness and backsliding. And then on Tuesday night, he came to the subject of consecration and yielding to God. And then on a Wednesday night, he preached again to God's people and he preached about being filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't hear that now. It's as if the fullness of the Holy Ghost is no longer available. I tell you, it is. And we need that fullness. That's why the church is in the state it is. And then on the Thursday night, he began the gospel preaching. And in many of those missions, there began an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I can still, in my mind, I see vividly men, women, young people, every age group represented. On that Wednesday night when Dr. Paisley made an appeal, if you're ready to yield to God, if you want to know his fullness, will you confess now your emptiness, your need of him, and stand? And I can see it as clear as anything, for I was in many of those meetings. I can see it as clear as anything. Men and women standing, weeping. They would have been Presbyterians, Methodists, Church of Ireland, that had lived in the wilderness for the most of their life. And God was drawing near, and a new day was dawning. And it was a Pentecost for them, and with brokenness they stood, and there's no doubt God filled them. That's why the free churches, when they started off, each one of them, you couldn't have held them back. You had new converts, you had backsliders who were restored and filled with fire! And they wouldn't miss a prayer meeting. They wouldn't miss a meeting of any description. They were on fire. That's why we did so well back then. Can happen again. Can happen again. They persisted in crying for those 10 days or so. And then the blessing came. There used to be an old saying. I heard it quoted many, many times in prayer meetings years ago. I haven't heard it so many times recently. Little prayer, little blessing. Some prayer, some blessing. Much prayer, much blessing. That's what we need. The challenge is before you. Quickly notice that it was united prayer, and these all continued with one accord. Mercy was shown to them that they should thus be brought together. You know, if a ship is sinking, there's unity among the people. No time for quarreling now. It's all forgotten. Whatever differences there may have been, among passengers and crews, all forgotten, we're in dire danger. We're in dire danger. When this people were aware of the solemn nature of what it was that lay ahead, and doubtless, because you remember where it says, after the resurrection, they were all in the upper room for fear of the Jews. This was a frightened bunch of people, and they were well aware of the task that lay before them. Going to all the world. They could hardly get out of the upper room to face anybody, never mind going to all the world. And what it was they were facing bonded them together.
we need God's help. Oh, that our wee church here might be united in that one thought. We need God's blessing. You know, I'll tell you this. I've said it to the senior men of our congregation. We're going to die. I haven't too much longer, and there's some of us here. We don't have too much longer. What's going to happen then? What's going to happen then? Have you thought about that? God has to work. We're facing a serious crisis. God has to work. God has to work. That's what they were thinking. And it united them. They prayed that the Lord would come. If you look at chapter 2 of Acts, you'll see in the verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all there. No absentees. They were all there. They were all there. It's commonly believed, and I feel there is very good reason for this, it's commonly believed that the Spirit of God fell on the Lord's Day. Oh, don't miss the Lord's Day for any reason other than that which will stand God's examination. They were all there. If anything, there had been an intensifying of their seeking of the Lord, and it reached a peak when the blessing of the Lord fell. Oh, may God unite us in this. As others are praying, please, you pray with them. You pray with them. Take encouragement from their prayer. Note that they are praying for something that, you hadn't thought of that. Yes, Lord. I want to pray that too. Get involved in this prayer meeting. United in prayer. And it was expectant prayer. That is, they knew God was going to answer. They believed God was going to answer. They were with all, we're looking at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, they were all with one accord. All. Now I said there's bound to be a leaving of the room. That's a natural thing. They just couldn't be there 24 hours a day. But there came the point that when God was going to pour out His Spirit, they were all there. They were all there. Something brought them all out that moment. Remember when the Lord showed Himself to His apostles and Thomas was absent? He wasn't absent this day. They were all there. Oh, that there might be a moving of God amongst us so that we became conscious God's gonna work, and I want to be there when that happens. Spirit of expectancy. May the Lord give us that. One verse. And with this I close. 1 John, well, it's two verses. 1 John, chapter 5, and the verse 14 and 15. 1 John, 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, well, we know His will, tarry in Jerusalem. He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Do you see that? When you come to pray, according to God's will, you can be sure you're going to get what you ask. You can have that confidence. May God give us that confidence tonight as we draw near to Him in prayer. All right, we will end it there. And get to prayer, and we'll ask the Lord for His blessing. I lead you off, and then as God leads you. Oh, listen, young people, there's not one of you too young here tonight to pray. Mommy can send each one of you to the shop. Oh, maybe not with the full week's grocery list. But if she wants a loaf of bread, you're able to go and say, please, can I have a loaf of bread? The Lord wants you to hear. He wants to hear you asking tonight. And what have we to ask for? Lord, send Your blessing. Lord, bless our mission. Bless the preacher. Bless me, Lord. That's what you need to pray. Send Your Spirit. All right, let's bow before the Lord then in prayer.